Imagine what must it have been like that day of Pentecost. Let's go there now. So about 2,000 years ago, there was a Jewish festival of great importance. And it was called the Festival of the First Harvest. And this was one of three annual celebrations that were held throughout the Jewish rabbinic world. And when I say celebration, think big. Bigger than any celebration that we know of today in the UK. Probably a bit more like Mecca in the Arabic culture. Families travelled from across the known world to Jerusalem, feasting, praising God, and merrymaking were the order of the day. And really, it was everyone's party. And it seemed everyone had turned up. We are told that the disciples were in one room together. Well, let's expand that a bit. For at least 50 days, the men had been struggling to comprehend what was happening around them. They hear their best friend, an inspiration, tell them that he was going to leave them. He is there crucified by the Romans, vanished from his own grave, seen as resurrected several times. He told them just to wait. Can you imagine their mental state? Confused they certainly must have been, probably exhausted and scared for their own lives. The Roman army would be very likely to kill them if they were found. And anxious about what might be, they certainly were. Just imagine yourself in their shoes. If you are willing, close your eyes and be in that place. Feel the scorching heat of the Jerusalem summer. Shut inside with no circulating air. Constant noise from the constant partying outside the walls. You are exhausted by the trauma of a catalogue of appalling events that have shaken you to the depths of your soul. And you don't understand. What are you waiting for? Dramatically, suddenly, everything changes. You are engulfed by a noise from heaven that is described as the roar of a mighty thunderstorm. Has anyone ever been in a storm and heard the crack of thunder and the tremble of the ground beneath your feet? The whole house was filled with this wind, which must have been terrifying. Feel that sting of the dust whipping round your feet. And then the flames come down, described as tongues of fire, and settled upon each disciple. As this Holy Spirit was transferred upon them, they each received the gift of speaking in other languages, languages that were unknown to them. You can open your eyes now. It's not surprising that the witnesses believed that these people were just drunk as they ran into the street proclaiming the good news of the Jesus story. They might well have appeared intoxicated. It was a festival after all. The noise and outcry caused people to rush and see what on earth was going on. And many who came were highly educated Jews. Now, the disciples were distinctly uneducated men from Galilee and were able to speak suddenly in every language to every person in Jerusalem. The list of nationalities spoken, in fact, represent every named country of the time, from Asia to Arabia to Rome. Each person was astonished to hear such wonderful things that God had done through Jesus. Astonished, yes, but perplexed also. They were witnessing a miracle, but at the time they could not see the significance. And then Peter stepped forward to speak. And as he did so, the outworking of the Holy Spirit in him communicated his first speech of evangelism. He called in them to believe what they had just seen as the work of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit is clearly for everyone, male, female, Jews and Gentiles, and all nations included. Now remember, Peter had not exactly covered himself in glory during Jesus' ministry. In fact, his bravado had quite often let him down. And we all know that he denied Jesus. But here was a new man. Renewed by the Spirit, he grew bold. The confidence that he gained from the Holy Spirit transformed him into a powerful and dynamic speaker. He confidently and fluently confirmed the truth of the recent events, which would have been still very fresh and scandalous in the minds of the residents and the visitors to Jerusalem. And he told the crowd what they had to do now. There can be no doubt that many thousands returned home with a clear message to communicate to their friends, families, and neighbors. And it was this: repent of your sins against God. Turn towards God and be baptized. And then each person will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone. What a wonderful historical story. But what is the significance for us today? We talk of the Holy Spirit maybe without really understanding what we mean. And I wonder what it means to you. The translation of the word Spirit from the original Greek means breath. And of course, without breath, we can't live. Just breathe into the palm of your hand. Feel that it is warm. Well, the combination of warmth and breath signify life. And there's an implied morality as well when we use the word holy. So, a good life. When we see fire in the Bible, it signifies speech. Fire is also used to signify the purification of our sinful lives. And I love this. It sets our own hearts aflame so as to ignite the lives in others. When we've been excited ourselves to tell somebody something that you feel really passionate about, have you ever felt that like you were burning to tell them something? Well, Peter's purpose was to convincingly communicate the complete gospel message to those placed before him. And actually, nothing has really changed. And by that, I mean we are all called to do the same, to make disciples of all men. And we are all called. That does sound terrifying. Most of us would feel completely incapable of such a thing. Maybe we don't feel very confident of speaking about our faith. We may not feel confident in speaking to others at all. For sure, we feel we are not good enough. And that's a good thing, because it's true. We aren't. And that's the point. We are all damaged goods. Yet by turning to Jesus and turning away from our failings, we can be confident in knowing that we have within us the Holy Spirit. When we live out our faith, we are able to draw upon the purity and strength of that Spirit. And when we call upon that Spirit in Jesus' name, we can be sure that much can be achieved that would otherwise be impossible. Sonia's already mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we had a visiting preacher, Reverend John Boardman, who referred to the fruit of the Spirit. Does anyone remember the nine? Well, I wish we'd compared scripts because you've done that already. So we'll gloss over that. So it was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you have got those nice little things to take away. It is these qualities of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to develop. And how wonderful it is to know that they are God-given gifts that we can develop, which allows us to develop the Holy Spirit within us. We will spend our lifetimes refining those. But what a fantastic framework they give us. Has God ever spoken to you? How did you know? His voice might be audible. It might be a whisper. After all, think about what happened to Elijah. Or it may not be audible at all and be a simple knowing that we feel deep within our souls. For many years, I prayed passionately for the Holy Spirit to become obvious to me. And the more I tried, the more silence I encountered. I didn't know what to do or what to expect, and that was really frustrating. But it seemed that I'd been looking in the wrong place. I'd been praying to hear his voice or see his face. And essentially, I was telling God what format I wanted to receive his holy presence. And I should have known that our great God doesn't conform to our limited human expectations. Instead, one day I was caught completely off guard. For no apparent reason, I felt infused with a warmth and overwhelmed with an emotion that strangely combined peacefulness and outrageous joy and energy all at the same time. I had not been praying, but was just doing what you do, living. And the tears rolled silently down, but I felt no sadness. And I know, looking back, I absolutely had to smile. It was a requisite that I had to smile. And inside, I felt a complete understanding that God was within me, that he had been inside me all along. And now was the time to make me understand that. I can't fully explain what that felt like. I mean, why should I? It was a supernatural experience unique to me. And that is also the point. We are all completely unique, one-offs. Each of us can experience the life-giving nature of the Holy Spirit in a form that is unique to us. And all in God's timing. And that time will come. That life-giving energy that changes everything. Well, some things are easier to understand when we can actually see something. So, Sonia's just going to help me explain that. I'll come down there. So, how do plants grow? Very, very simplistically, we could say that they trap the energy of the sun in the leaves. And that energy of the sunshine becomes locked within the wood. Forgive me for being oversimplistic, but you'll get what I mean. So how can we release that hot and bright energy from the wood? It's as if the sunlight had become trapped within the wood and just needed a prompt to remind it how to shine. As I say, God's Spirit is in us. But sometimes we forget, and we need reminding. When we meet God's Spirit in the world, through the goodness, love, and kindness of other people, or witnessing it through science, nature, beauty, music, or art, then the Spirit in us is unlocked and can be set free. And it too will shine. And we too will shine like God has asked us to. Just as one match can set fire to another, so the Spirit in one person can wake up the Spirit in another. Just turn the matches up a bit. And if we follow Jesus' law of love, we will live our lives in the power of that amazing fire that won't go out. Thank you. Thank you. I think there was a message there, wasn't there? I'm not going out. So be alert for that Holy Spirit. We may feel it ourselves. We need to know that it is always within us, and we need to draw upon it to develop as Christian people. And we see it in action all around us too. Maybe in the eyes of another, the sound of a voice that we love, the brokenness of a friend or stranger. And God is everywhere. And we are thankful to him for this gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's our permanent connection, joining us forever with Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Remember, those nine elements which are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My final prayer is that we can each promise to focus on those nine qualities which will root us firmly in our faith and keep us going in the right direction. God is here, and his Spirit is with us today and always. Amen.